They had been planning to put the mechanical equipment at the top of the building. And I pointed out to them that if you do that, you'll never get your first tenant in for maybe a year or two after you could otherwise get them in. So we turned it around and put the mechanical equipment, which was the largest mechanical system probably ever thought of for a commercial office building, down into the bowels of the building so it could get going and be ready when the offices were ready. Very proud that we had suggested putting the refrigeration plant and the things that serve it down in the bowels of the building rather than at the top of the building. And then we had to it may have been 40-something, but close to 50,000 tons. There had never been an edifice of that size. Looking at the structure, which was fairly advanced, the architectural look and the not particularly the structural look told them that they couldn't have these narrow windows around the whole structure made up of structural components because they'd never be able to get anything into the building from the outside, such as partitions and even the floor system, which was basically known to be a prefabricated floor system. The pieces were larger than the openings. So the Trade Center ended up, instead of having four sharp corners, which was originally, having beveled corners in order to have wider openings to get the pieces through. One thing I'm very proud of, and very few people know this, the original plans and specs was going to be stainless steel on the exterior. And I personally changed it to aluminum and changed it to Alcoa aluminum, not only for dollars. The first budgets were stainless steel. Yama wanted a reflective surface, and that was the original design, stainless steel. Well, we were doing research for Alcoa, and we asked them to come up with some samples that would be highly reflective. There was no possibility of cladding those buildings in stainless steel. There just wasn't enough capacity to do it, and the cost would have been staggering surfaces. Now, they probably would have been more mirrored, but very little. Alcoa came up with this design, which also had to combat corrosion from salt water. So it was a pretty good, unique alloy that they hadn't done on a big building. The steel had been estimated by the port and by the two logical major steel companies, the Bethlehem Steel Company and the U.S. Steel American Bridge Company. Two very prestigious, very large firms that not only made their own steel, but had expertise in erecting the steel. They both came in at around under $100 a ton. They were then each to work with the structural engineers, which was Les Robertson of Skilling, to present their details of the elements for engineering review and suggestions. So they independently said what they thought were the best fabrication of the intersections of the steel with other trades. What happened was the steel companies didn't give them any advance notice, but came in with prices that were in the $120 to $123 a ton instead of under $100 a ton. And both of the steel companies came in together at the same time with this new news that their original estimates were like 30 to 40% wrong. And that blew the minds of port commissioners, played into the hands of all the negativists about the project, and almost scuttled the entire project. Oh, and each of the steel companies said that they might be able to shave their price if they had one tower each, rather than the two towers. It was just so enormous. We were then asked what we would do. There were high-strength steel elements. There were made slabs of steel. There were trusses. In the original design, you could easily break it down into packages of kind. Not break down one tower against the other tower, but the kinds, because they were similar on both towers. And we broke it down into 11, as I remember, 11 separate subcontractors or suppliers of steel.